Signal that tells us we're live.
I just started recording.
We are recording.
Upper left hand corner, you should see a recording red dot.
Oh, no, it didn't go. It didn't go on for me.
Oh, I see a red flashing dot on mine. Yeah.
I don't see it.
So, good afternoon. This is Design Commission for Thursday, May 14th, 2020. And please note the commission hearings room at 1900 Southwest 4th Avenue, room 2500B, is closed to the public due to the COVID-19 pandemic. We are meeting via Zoom for the very first time today. Under Portland City Code and State Law, the Design Commission is holding this meeting electronically. All members of the commission are attending remotely by video and teleconference. Through required public notice, the public is invited to also participate remotely and can provide testimony during today's hearing. The Commission is taking these steps as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic and the need to limit in-person contact and promote social distancing. The pandemic is an emergency that threatens the public health, safety, and welfare, which requires us to meet remotely by electronic communication. Thanks to everyone for their patience, their flexibility, and understanding as we manage through this difficult situation to do the city's business. And as we usually do, we will begin our hearing today with introductions, first of Bureau of Development Services staff and then commissioners who are present. And just to be sure that we are well organized about this, I propose that each person introduce themselves, state their position, and then call on the next person. So we're going to pass the baton. And we will begin with Senior Planner Tim Herron.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner Julie. This is Tim Herron, Senior Planner, Bureau of Development Services. It is a pleasure to start the first virtual Design Commission webinar hearing the City of Portland has ever seen. I will turn my mic off so you don't hear the other things going on in my home. And I will pass the baton to Kara Fioravanti.
Thank you, Tim Herron. This is Kara Fioravanti, Supervising Planner of the Design Review and Historic Review Team. I will pass the baton to Don Velister.
Oh, that was quick. This is Don Velister, Commissioner on the Design Commission. And I will pass it on to Commissioner Rodriguez.
This is Sam Rodriguez, also Design Review Commissioner, and I'll pass it on to Zeri Santner.
Zeri Santner, Commissioner, and I pass it on to Chandra Robinson.
I'm Chandra Robinson, and I'm also a Design Commissioner, and I will pass it on to Commissioner Molinar.
Jessica Molinar, Design Commissioner, and I will pass it on to Commissioner McCarter.
Commissioner McCarter, Brian McCarter of the Portland Design Commission, and I'm going to pass it back to Chairman Livingston.
So this is Julie Livingston, Portland Design Commissioner and Chair of the Design Commission, and I'm going to circle back around to be sure that we capture a few members of staff who are also with us today, beginning with Clerk Laura Duval.
Hi, I'm Laura Duval. I'm the hearings clerk.
And Brian Tierney.
Hello, this is Brian Tierney, hearings clerk.
Thank you very much. And there are a handful of planners with us today as well. First, Grace Jeffries.
Sorry, took me a minute to unmute. Good afternoon. It's great to see all of you.
Thanks for joining us, Grace. Stacey Monroe.
Good afternoon, Commission. Nice to see you as well.
And Ben Nielsen.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. It's good to see everyone.
Okay, I think that we have captured all staff, all commissioners. If there is someone who has not had the opportunity to introduce themselves for the record, please raise your hand on the participants list and we will circle back around. And just to be sure, we will be monitoring the participants list. So at any time If activities are happening there, we may interject. And that interjection could come from Laura, Brian, or maybe even me. So commission members are private citizens appointed by the mayor to provide review of new construction or remodeling of projects within designated design zones. We are not paid, but serve entirely as volunteers. More detailed information regarding the purpose and function of the commission can be found in the Portland Zoning Code. Commission members must declare a conflict of interest, bias, or ex parte contact prior to the staff presentation of a particular case. If a commission member has a conflict of interest or bias, they are not allowed to participate in commission discussion or voting on that project. If a commission member has had an ex parte contact, they must declare the substance of it on the record, and it is subject to rebuttal. So we have a fairly light agenda today. I believe the only item on our agenda is items of interest. And so I'm going to bypass the readings that we might typically have for type 3 land use reviews and any type of appeal or other case that might land in front of commission. And at this point, I think I'll turn it over to Tim Herron to walk us through items of interest.
Awesome. Great, most exciting items of interest I've ever had the pleasure of telling you all about firsts. I'm gonna start with just a couple of things. I wanted to acknowledge Darren Wagner, who is also here with us. At least he was a moment ago. I think he may have stepped out for another meeting. So I missed the opportunity to say hi. Darren has been one of the key people behind the scenes helping us get our tech up and running. I'll circle back and talk with him. He's definitely going to be present for the next hearings, which we have next week on the 21st, which will be a little bit more robust than today with a little more technical gymnastics that we may need assistance with. But we hope he's her training wheels, if you will. So after a couple hearings, we hope to take those off and we'll be full steam ahead. I wanted to start first by acknowledging Laura and Brian Tierney, our clerks behind the scenes. It's a new day doing virtual hearings for the clerks. Their job was already challenging, moving the paper and stuffing the stuff and all the things that you already know. But the last about month and a half preparing for virtual hearings has been a completely new animal of tech, management, pre-hearing management, registration setup, naming conventions for how we can see panelists and see attendees. I could go on. When I heard of Zoom, it's something I thought my dog did when she got really excited and ran around the room really fast. That's how that might date me a little bit, but a lot of staff had to kind of step up and really move into this forum, just like all of you all. So I want to acknowledge them. I also want to acknowledge all of the staff for the Design Commission and Historic Landmarks Commission. Landmarks Commission had a fantastic first hearing on Monday. Curiously enough, it went longer than we planned. But some of that just, I frankly think, had something to do with it. It was nice to see everyone's faces. So it was a little social, it was fun, we got business done, it was great. Hillary did a fantastic job as a liaison for that, and all of us doing it from our different personal spaces at home. So it's been quite a journey. So it's really nice to be here, and great to see your faces.
You too.
So I'm gonna hit title all six things and then I'll roll through them. There's really kind of six items of interest. One is the future, and we'll talk about that. Two is our agenda ahead, looking into the summer. Three is going to be a quick update on the agenda from Stacy, and I see that Laura Willard is attending as well, and she may participate with that. And then, frankly, just questions, wrap up. Commissioner Julie and I talked right before the hearing started about potentially inviting some of our attendees if they would like to help test our systems, so to speak. Be nice to do that in a less formal setting and to that degree. And then I'd like to end with a commissioner Zoom meeting screenshot and kind of ask you all to say cheese. because this is pretty momentous. And I asked first because I want to give you a chance to smile and not sneak a screenshot while you're not looking. And so I think that would be kind of an enjoyable way maybe to end our hearing today. So those are the items. I'll start with the future. Virtual hearings are our future. Someday I do hope we do get back in the 2500A and we do get to inhabit the same space again safely. But we don't know when that's going to be right now, as you all know. What I do know is already the virtual hearing format that we're doing right now allows access to us by the public in a way that has never been available before. It obviously presumes internet access for certain, but the ability for someone to not have to drive downtown, park, pay for parking, get to a hearing on time and testify is vastly easier with a mobile phone or a laptop computer through this setting. And so I think it's fantastic. It raises all kinds of new challenges for us, like I mentioned, with the effort on Laura and Brian's part setting these things up, but I think we're gonna get that figured out. We're gonna have hiccups, we're gonna have some trips. We're gonna work it out, and in part because we have to. And if it works out as well as I hope, and what I've been seeing kind of my own experience with Zoom meetings, is I'm finding some of these this forum actually helps with efficiency. So I am very optimistic that you're gonna see estimated times for our hearings go down, because I think we're all gonna get better at how we do this. I think the format itself lends itself to an efficiency. But to that point, I want to acknowledge something known as Zoom fatigue. And that is really more about not so much Zoom, but it's about this way of communicating and having so much visual stimulus through your screen can be draining. And so we're being very mindful in scheduling hearings, and specifically because of that issue. So what we'll do moving forward, and this is the next topic, is work on, as we've always tried to do, is shorter hearings, but potentially more days. And so there's a way that we'll talk to you all about that. And I hope that that's something that might work for you all, given you're not commuting into the city. You're also not parking or moving around and spending that time getting to the hearing room. And so that's something we'll venture on together. Right now, my commute is just down one flight of stairs to the basement. I miss my bike ride in the work, but man, I've never been at work faster. So it's a, it's an interesting time for me too. When it comes to timing, we don't know. We're really following the lead from the Governor Kate Brown in terms of how we reopen, how social distancing is gonna work. We obviously live in a city. We hold hearings in our room. I know we just paid for the dais we have and you all aren't 6 feet apart and I don't think we're getting another one. So I think it's going to be some time before we see that room again. Once the governor makes an announcement, we'll follow the lead of the mayor, Ted Wheeler, and then follow, of course, our BDS director, Rebecca Esau's lead and moving forward, on how we get back together. I think though, it's just an affirmation that we're doing this for a while. So as you get more comfortable with the technology and how you're receiving materials and reviewing them, we're really looking for your feedback. Like what's working, what's not working, what do you need, what's missing? And we're going to do everything we can to make that smoother, cleaner, the best that we can do. So you've seen that already in the guides that we've sent out. Those will no doubt be updated. I actually have a couple more updates that we'll do with those that I'll send out. And I'm going to try and use a convention, and Hillary will be doing the same with the Landmarks Commission, of when there is an update, I'll try and either make a red print or yellow highlight the latest blurb. So you're not sitting there reading the whole document. It's like, okay, version, May 14th, 2020 has this update. And it may be something like Commissioner McCarter has the coolest architectural features in his background. So I'm going to add that to a preference, or Tim's flag behind him needs to change every week. I'm kidding. But I think that's something where the more we get familiar, the cleaner these hearings are going to run and the faster we're going to move forward. So that's my future. in my mind and how we've talked about it internally. Does anyone have any questions about the future?
I just had a little bit of a thought based on Hillary's experience, but she says after 2 hours, she was totally exhausted. So I'm wondering if we shouldn't be responding more in print and forwarding those comments on, so that the hearing would just be sort of a follow-up on the thoughts we've already put forth, rather than do it all in the meeting format.
Oh, I think on great question, Don. I think it is a public hearing, so I think it's really going to be important that the public hear your words as well as see you. I mean, how you prepare for the hearing, however, could be doubling down on that. So, for instance, having a notes prepared that you also forward is fine. But also, even if you're rereading them or presenting them, I think that's going to be an important part of what we do as commissioners. And so that everyone hears your thoughts and your words. And when we get into hearings and we start to kind of compare notes and put them together and do that thing we call deliberation, that we're all kind of contributing and riffing off each other. It's going to be a little different because we're all, you know, tiles on a computer screen, you know, so there's a nuance there. I'm relying on myself, your words and what I hear, but I'm also relying on what I see in your expressions. And I know some commissioners more than other are, can read my facial expressions pretty well in the hearing room. So I'm certainly going to share those as much as I can. Though if you want, I'm fine. And I could just do this all the time if that's more helpful. But I know Commissioner Jessica, who always sat just 2 chairs to my right, really appreciated some of my expressions. So I'll probably be mindful. It's not just her viewing them these days. So sorry, Jessica. I might be more filtered.
I want to respond to Don's suggestion. You know, I find it very useful to write things. But one thing that I really miss in terms of the DAR that we already submitted is that in the meetings, listening to each of us, we learn from each other quite a bit. Not all of us have the same kind of expertise. So I felt that that was really missing. And I didn't know how this was going to be communicated to the applicant, to what extent we felt strongly about the opinion that we were raising, which could be moderated by listening to each other. So I think we may have to modify a lot of things as we go along.
Yeah. Yeah, from my standpoint, I think on some of these fairly straightforward projects, I didn't spend a lot of time pre-meeting going over it in great detail because we pick up a lot of that during the presentation. Mm-hmm. So, but I think in this format, I'm going to have to prepare more for the meetings than I have in the past.
Right.
Just to have a, because I think it's just going to be easier to communicate on the basis of more familiarity with the product than we've had to have up to now, which I kind of prefer the actual meetings we've had significantly, but we're not in that place at this time, so we'll have to deal with this.
Maybe it's something that we revisit down the road if we're finding that the lack of deliberation is really leaving not a congealed sort of design commission direction for the applicants. Maybe we revisit that we do something like this, do a Zoom meeting to do DARs down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I also like the deliberation because, you know, inevitably Julie knows the code better and, or Jessica knows the code better. And I, you know, it's just really good to have colleagues remind us of stuff. Well, that's fine, but here's what the code says, you know. Mm-hmm. So,
you know, I that's when the magic happens. It's the deliberation. Yeah. I mean, for me personally, that's the part where it's a pleasure to be paid to be in the room to watch you deliberate. So, I hope we can repeat that in this virtual format You know, and maybe that's a big strong push. I know I've spoken with Kara and other seniors and staff. I think that's where a lot can happen. I also see opportunities though in the virtual format moving forward that we have that as an assist in our hearings. I could see a scenario, Brian, where the next time you're able to safely leave the country, and if you were willing, you could Zoom meeting in on a hearing so we can get you anywhere around the world now. And we would set up a little monitor in your spot at the dais and you would be there. And your energy and physicality would be missed, but it would be almost as good.
But I will say this though, that also the flip side is having the, for this last DAR that we did, having the discipline of filling out the matrix is very good for you. It's a good exercise. It forces you to,
good to hear,
flip back and forth between the drawings and really, you know, kind of get your thoughts organized and get them down. So it kind of cuts both ways, but I do miss hearing my colleagues and having that good kind of back and forth.
Yep, I agree with that. And I guess the DAR format seemed, I think it worked okay. Tim, you may have a little feedback from what we all provided, and was that pretty helpful in informing the applicant of
the notes only, Don?
Yes.
Yeah, I think we're still kind of putting those packages together, so a little to be determined. I think to your point though, the deliberation aspect, I think elevated, you know, everyone's responses. So I think that's something where, again, as we embrace this format, which we're forced to, I think I'm very optimistic we'll get better at it. I've certainly experienced it myself, going from 0 miles per hour Zoom to 120 miles an hour Zoom. So
you did get some feedback from staff too on how that first DAR went.
Yeah. Yeah, we should, let's have that conversation soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You mean Zoom?
Yeah. Touche. I love saying this. I'm going to say it again. Any other questions about the future?
You know, something, I don't know if you're going to get to this in the next one, but something that came up last week that I was kind of intrigued by is, you know, I keep my handy external hard drive here, which has got practically everything I know on it. And the ability, if we're having a deliberation and an LUR, and we're trying to tell somebody about how it's good to have the awnings at this height and transom windows above it or something like that, you can punch share screen with your commissioners and show them a precedent. Show them exactly what you're talking about. And we can't do that in the live room in the meeting. So there's kind of an interesting thing there. What we got to be careful, though, is that doesn't bog down and just take an inordinate amount of time.
Yeah.
But I'm intrigued by that, being able to show an example of, here's what I'm talking about. This is what I think the guideline is getting at.
That's great, Brian. Yeah, we talked about that at one of the mock hearings. I know when we did our kind of practice sessions with just a couple groups of you at a time, that was something that came up. And I have already experienced that nuance of screen sharing because you had to, but a picture says 1,000 words.
Yeah.
Good.
Technically, is that pretty hard to do, Brian?
What's that?
How does one do that?
You see the menu down in the center, and there's a green arrow share screen. Uh-huh. What it requires you to do, if you think you want to make a point about something, have that image opened and have it parked somewhere where you don't have to go searching for it. So have anything that's a precedent thing that's relevant sitting there on your other screen. And then when your turn comes around to make your commentary, you could just say, my fellow commissioners, I have an example of what I'm talking about here, and just hit that share screen thing and bring it up quickly.
Do you see that at the bottom, Don? If you kind of,
it's in green. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll give you an example.
I don't know how to get an image on there, but that's another issue.
Well, here, I'll do this. Since I like to be that guy. Can you see me?
Yep.
So this is there's a picture of my space. And we started this as a team. We're all able to see each other's faces and our backgrounds. And so we started a little, where's your office now?
Yeah.
Because we miss seeing each other in their spaces.
Yeah.
And so, Don, that's an example of screen share, but it's a little bit of me making it work.
Okay.
So, is that helpful?
I'll have to sort that one out.
Yeah. Don, you could pick out an image of the right gauge of metal. And pop that up on the screen.
Window reflectivity.
Something with no oil canning, preferably.
Yes, please. Okay. Any more questions about the future? Okay. So future related, but just agenda related. And I guess what I'll do, I'm going to do it this way since I can screen share the agenda for you all, as I'm going to talk through and just open it up. So everyone, if you don't already, I would have the Design Commission agenda hot linked somewhere on your desktop. Laura and Brian and behind the scenes, Kara and I and Hillary and all of Design Commission's and Store Commission staff are constantly hitting this agenda. And in the last couple of weeks, never more than I can ever remember. A lot of that had to do with updating it regularly. You see that Laura Brian was in here just yesterday, updating this agenda. This is updated daily. It's a good resource. We spent a lot of time in this agenda section here about, this is obviously available to the public, but some things about keeping in mind how we do what we do, COVID-related warnings, why we're doing virtual hearings. But this section in particular here is one where we spent some time and wanted to make sure the public had access to resources on how to use the Zoom platform. This is obviously for you all. You've received separate guides as commissioners, which is a little more customized for your role. But what we also sent you was the guides that we've made for staff, that we've made for the public, and that we've made for the applicant. And we'll be updating those probably weekly as we move forward through some hearings and kind of tweaking things. But know that this is something we really spent some time on to kind of help the public navigate this as well. One thing we realized pretty quick is we don't know what everyone's individual setup is at home and what they're seeing or how many screens they're using or their kind of capability with the software. And so we're doing the best we can to kind of make that information available for people to participate from their mobile device or from their laptop. What you'll also see here is, this is a webinar registration link that Laura sets up. These will appear for hearings about 2 weeks before the hearing. Reason why we do it 2 weeks before is we wanna make sure we have all the information we need. These links to these hearings, you receive separate ones individually. You're specifically invited as commissioners, as you know, and you're all here, so you've obviously done it correctly. But what the public will see is this link, and anyone that views this webpage can click this link and register and participate. And what you'll have here is a list of attendees that are in the hearing room. And if you go to your participants panel at the bottom of your screen and float over it, you can click and see people that are here listening, probably very curious to see how their hearings are going to go next week. I think it's great. I see some familiar names right now, and we're actually going to invite anyone that wants to speak as well a little later. Chair Julie and I talked about that, to kind of get that experience for you all. As you roll through, obviously we're wrapping up some notes due. And then we're also looking at the hearing for the next week, which is full and will be busy, but it's one we're looking forward to managing well and getting through all the technical, and hopefully no technical hurdles. So
Tim, you'll be forwarding these to us.
I'm sorry, Don, say that again.
Will you be forwarding these to us via email or?
Yes.
We have to look,
huh? I think you already did.
You should have already got it, Don.
That's fine. Okay.
Yeah. So what you'll also get is Laura's going to put together a poll for extra dates in July, August, and September. we are digging out a little bit from the hiatus we were on. But note that those dates that we're polling for are really an opportunity for us to shorten the hearing lengths. I know you already knew the hearings are long. Sometimes we have in the hearing room. But again, back to what I mentioned about the fatigue of video meetings. I think it's going to be even more important, not only that we learn the platform and are more efficient with it, but that we also have maybe stretched them out over the month. So when Laura sends that out, you know, please let us know when you're available. We're not going to pick every single Thursday between here and September. but we do want to have the flexibility to kind of move some hearings around so we don't have as long a day as, for instance, we might have on the 21st. So that really kind of represents more clearing the logjam. It's not the new normal, but we need to have some flexibility on dates.
But Tim, because of everything going on, I don't know about everyone else's situation, but at least mine, I don't know actually what's going to happen this summer or probably in the fall. So I can give you dates that maybe will be open, yeah, but then could disappear the week before, 2 weeks before.
Understood.
I just don't know.
Yeah, Jessica, totally get it. Okay. I've got one young kid, and it is the whole world's upside down with no summer camps this summer. So we're still figuring it out. All my vacation plans are tentative or blew up, you know. So I hear you. Definitely aware of that. We're working that out internally, as I imagine many people are. But again, I'm optimistic that short of not having to go downtown for a hearing, that we cut the commute time out of the effort to host these things. We had even had a little discussion about potentially thinking about hearing dates on different days of the week, potentially. And is there a nuance of maybe getting off of Thursdays for a DAR or something else? So I think it's wide open. We really want to make it easier for everyone and not have long video conferenced Thursday afternoons. But scheduling is challenging, especially with younger kids. So I get that. Okay. Any questions on that?
I have a question. We were just looking at the agenda, which is very easy to find and has all of the links. I've used it many times. It's great. Mm-hmm. But seeing that we have a hearing on the 21st, I'm just looking through my email and I don't actually have it on my calendar. I'm available and I will be there, or I will be here in my seat right now, but I just don't see it on my calendar yet. So I wanted to check if other folks have it on there and I just missed it.
Is everyone tracking? And then I could just, maybe Laura or Brian, maybe we could just send another heads up to Chandra.
Me as well, because for whatever reason, not all meeting requests are landing.
But I think that one's not an actual meeting, right? It's just your DAR comments are due?
DAR comments, I believe, are due on Wednesday.
Oh.
And then we actually have hearings on Thursday.
You know, I just looked on my Outlook, and I'm usually screwed up on that, but I don't have that invite either.
Neither do I.
So can I ask a question? So when you are invited to the webinar, you have an option to put that on your calendar, and then it saves the link, your personal invite to the hearing. If I send you an Outlook invite, you'll then have two items on there. Huh. Not to be confused. I can send an Outlook invite, so you have the one you put on with your link and the one from us. What would you all prefer?
Sorry, Laura, I think you tried to explain this last time when we were testing this out, and I got it figured out, but only for the meeting today, and then I didn't get it figured out for the meeting next week, so maybe I just need to look.
You should get a reminder today. You'll get a week reminder, a day reminder, and an hour reminder for next week's hearing.
Right.
Yes. Those are all, every time you get that, you'll have the opportunity to add it to your calendar.
Okay.
Oh.
Do you want that, or would you also like an Outlook invite? I just don't want to clog up your calendar with too many things of the same sort.
But just one, Laura, I think. But I'm looking through all the hearings clerk emails that I've got, and they're all for the 14th. or so it seems. This reminder is that, I mean, I got through several, which you mentioned, right? A weekly, the day before, the hour before, but I don't have the one for the 21st.
I think it would be really helpful to just get it in an Outlook invite. That way I know.
To look for the
here. That way I can just go to the calendar, click on the link, and I'm good. I don't need to go back through my emails and look for
that
the latest
Outlook
one.
Don't mistake the Outlook invite, though, to have your personal invite link. I can't do that because I don't get a call.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's right, because we have personal ones. Oh, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, what is the first method for getting this again?
Okay. When I create a webinar, I have the option to invite panelists. And so
can I jump in?
Yeah.
Sorry. One of the problems is that we, all of us, have an Outlook invite on our calendars for Thursdays that are regular meetings. Mm-hmm. But whether we would have them or not have them, you know, it's been put in there for a long time. Is it possible to, and personally, I cannot remove it unless, you know, it removes all of it. Is it possible to remove those and then just having the Zoom invite so we can click and put it in our calendar? No?
I can certainly remove that automatic Outlook invite that just reminded you to watch every Thursday. Yeah. But that doesn't sound like that's what the majority of the commissioners want. They also want.
I see. Reminder. Okay. They want both of them. Okay.
Yeah. I think we need a consensus. I don't want to do it for some, do it differently for others. It'll be super confusing and tasking. So,
I think you can have both. It just sits side by side in your Outlook calendar. But I swear I don't have the one for the 21.
We don't. Neither. It's not there. But so just so that I have this straight. So the Outlook calendar is always going to be independent of our Zoom link because you can't send out individual ones to everybody with that particular meeting's Zoom link because you don't have that. So either way, the calendar will notify us of the time and day, but we still need to go find that email from the hearings clerk, from you, that is the latest, that gives us our personal link, because this is we're signed in as a webinar, not just as a regular Zoom meeting.
But Jessica, right? You can live in your calendar if you just add it. It has an option.
Oh, right, if we add it, right.
So
sit side by side, and you just open the one that's the Zoom one, and it has the link automatically. So it can sit side by side.
And even if you don't save the first time it gets, you get invited, you'll get the week reminder, you'll have that option. You'll get the day before and then hour before. So at any of those points, if you just watch for that in your email, you're going to be able to click on your link and attend the hearing.
Oh, that's awesome. I did not see that link. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yes. So I'd really prefer to not. That, Laura.
Yeah.
Could somebody share a screen and show us what you're.
I can do it.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. So I would prefer for you to not send me a calendar link because you're right. Then we'll have duplicates.
This is the invitation she sends, that Laura sends. And over here it says add to calendar.
We can't see your screen yet.
Oh, you can't? Oh, sorry. Hold on. Share. There we go.
There you go. Perfect. Yes.
Okay. So you see how she sends this one. This one's for the 14th. That's right. For today. Here's, you can just join it, but you can also just add it to your calendar.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Good. Or if it's a Yahoo calendar, but this one's added to your Outlook calendar.
Thank you, Sam.
So maybe that's great. Thank you. This is great, everyone. Progress. Laura, maybe we could sidebar. I know, just so you all know, one of the reasons why we send out the Outlook calendar is it alerts the infrastructure bureaus of a hearing date via that Outlook link. Mm-hmm. So maybe, Laura, at our next meeting, we could figure out maybe if commissioners prefer, if you want to make the Zoom webinar email the only one you get from the clerks. We could possibly do that. And then you do what you need to do in adding it to your respective calendars.
I'm just going to show this, Tim. Here's how it sits side by side.
So this is just like mine. Yeah.
This is the Outlook one.
Yep.
So if I need to, if I want to go to this one, this is where I connect it to.
Yep.
The other one is just the regular agenda link and stuff that we get sent by Laura. So we can just live together.
I like that. I like that because I like being able to look out a month in advance and see what Thursdays are locked down.
That's a good point.
Well, if you wanted to, Brian, you could just lock down all your Thursdays.
Wait a minute. I've been locked down for 2 months now.
Right? No matter where you are.
Okay.
See the handcuffs? No.
Good huddle. Thank you, Laura, for clarifying that. Is that is that more helpful for everyone?
Yeah.
It sounds like we do want the Outlook calendar
invited. Yeah, let's sidebar on it. I want to circle back with Kara and the seniors. I guess my thought was maybe we could avoid sending the Outlook one to commissioners, but still send the Outlook invite to staff and the infrastructure bureaus. But let's huddle on that and decide something moving forward.
Yeah.
Does that sound cool, Laura?
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah, I kind of thought the system you have right now works pretty well for me.
Okay.
I just get the notice a day in advance and I just click on it.
Yeah, that was Laura. That's all Laura. That's great. The Zoom meeting, having those reminders with the Zoom, like a week, a day, and an hour before, if you're all for it, we'll just keep that for sure.
Yeah. Thank you, Laura.
Yes, thank you.
Of course. Yep.
She's the Zoom master.
Not really.
Okay. So the three more items on the agenda really quick. I'm going to turn it. It's going to be DOZA questions and then a Zoom meeting snapshot. But I do want to take a chance during questions, maybe invite some attendees up to testify, if you will. But let's get through DOZA. I know, Stacy, you're here, and I see Laura's here too. Thank you for coming, Laura. Do you guys want to do a quick DOZA update?
Yes. Sorry. Give me 1 second. Okay, hello. I sent all of you an email yesterday providing just kind of a brief timeline about the next steps of DOZA. And I've put that on a sheet or a presentation that I'd like to share with you. It's right here. Okay. Can you see my screen?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There we go. Okay. So it's been quiet for a while. So I just wanted to bring you up to speed on DOZA because it's going to be going full speed ahead starting next week. So next week you will be receiving packets with the amendments from BPS that you that reflect the prior discussions at work sessions that you've been conducting, God, I think since last October of 2019. So all of that hard work has been folded into a revised document. So you should be receiving that next week. Next Thursday, Laura will be attending from BPS. And she's just going to brief the commission on a really high-level overview of the amendments and give you specific instructions about how to review the document and provide comments to her for discussion on June 4th. So you'll have 2 weeks between May 19th and June 4th to really comb through those revisions and make sure that they reflect your prior discussion and comments from the past year or so. And again, next week, Laura will just be giving a very high level overview. And in order to make June 4th be a very efficient hearing, she's going to give you specific instructions on how to provide any comments. So getting to the first hearing, it will be June 4th. That's when you as commissioners will bring any of your comments or edits for discussion at that hearing. If they're all minor changes, meaning you can easily dictate the edits to Laura, then it's possible that you could actually vote on your recommendation to City Council on June 4th. That's the hope. But if there are more significant amendments that requires BPS to actually fine-tune some language and bring it back to the commission. Then we will be returning on June 18th for hopefully the final hearing, where Laura will present any revised or amended language that you requested from the prior hearing. And that's, if the vote doesn't occur on June 4th, then that would be the date that you would be voting on a recommendation to City Council. On July 16th, the McAdam Character Statements, which will be the first adopted character statement for the new design guidelines, will be coming to the Design Commission. This will be a public hearing. You are the recommending body for the first character statement to City Council. And I believe at this hearing, again, this will be a public hearing on a legislative project. So the public will be providing testimony, and the PSC might also be providing their testimony on the character statement. So that's kind of what DOZA looks like. While it's in your court, we're not sure of the next step when it goes to council. Given that there's a lot of other pressing stuff that council is working on, the hope is to still have it go before council for adoption this year. But I'm sure Laura can provide you an update with that at the hearing next week. Does anyone have any questions about what to expect for the next month or so for DOZA?
Is the June 18th and July 16th written testimony from us?
It's not testimony. June 18th will be an opportunity for you to review any revised language that you request of Laura or BPS from the June 4th hearing.
Okay. And then so it's a vote.
Correct.
Okay.
And again, you're a recommending body, so you'll be voting on a recommendation to City Council. The same is true for the July 16th. Any other questions? Or Laura, you're also here. Do you have anything to add?
I don't think I have anything to add. Good to see your faces, and I look forward to talking with you next week.
We do also have a 3x3 set on the calendar tomorrow, though, right? That's still
happening? That's correct.
Yep. Okay, great.
That's correct.
I have a question. So this is in general. We are moving ahead with this DOZA implementation as if COVID has not happened. And COVID has happened, and it's going to have massive ramification in terms of development and urban design and everything. Has Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, MBDS, even thought about what the ramification of the future changes will be on these guidelines? And whether we just forge ahead, and then if the fog lifts, then if it's needed, we do another amendment. I just wanted to put that out there.
Well, I'll speak for BDS. We haven't had the conversation about how this, how the current times impact all of this work. But I think we believe that there has been so much effort, 5 years put into this document, into all this work, that the plan is to forge ahead, because this is not about a short-term solution. This is about the city's future. BPS could have had other conversations. I'm not sure, Laura, if you want to share anything or have anything to share.
Oops, I was muted. This is certainly not a 5-minute conversation. I've been thinking about this a lot, because so much of what we've written and talked about and championed together is about social interaction and gathering, and the ability for people of all different backgrounds to impromptu meet. And how do we make that work in the city? And how do we make the city, the best space, provide the best spaces in the future? And I still think, I've been reading over the document and thinking about this, And I still think a lot of what we've said and talked about together still holds true. I think it's even more important for us to champion the diversity of public spaces and make sure that there's ample room for people to move about and champion people's access to light and air and balconies and welcoming entries and things like that. I don't know that there's a lot of huge changes in the guidelines, but I think I would put this back to you and use this as a lens to maybe think about how our guidelines can remain timeless in this moment, but also hopefully as we get back to, I don't want to be cliche and say new normal, but I don't know. I'm not sure what else, you know, our future, our better future together, you know, what.
Yeah, I'd like to chime in on that. You know, there's going to be a vaccine at some point for this particular event. Are we expecting to have a virus every 2 years and have this be a consistent event over years? We hope not. We hope this is a 100-year event, like, you know, the Spanish flu of 1718. I mean, it was 2 years of that. I mean, the science wasn't there to get us where we possibly can get here. We've been having these discussions internally. I mean, and as a business, you know, we build buildings. We're building buildings for people. And we build buildings where people interact in amenity spaces and ground floors and what have you. I think this is going to be an incredibly painful period. Where there's going to be a lot of, you know, we're reacting to a lot of things, but I think we're going to get through this at some point. There'll be a vaccine, there'll be immunity or herd immunity, or, you know, a combination of one and the other. And eventually we'll, you know, there'll be actually a pent up demand to go out and meet people and go and be with people and have interactions with people. In terms of design review, you know, one of the things I see is like, you know, you're crazy if you think you're going to lease some retail today, you know, so mm-hmm. So our active ground floors are going to be really not very active for a long time it could be 18 months before we can actually go to a restaurant on a regular basis. The governor just issued, you know, what is phase one, and phase one opening is that you can have a restaurant with 10 people in it as long as they can keep 6 feet apart. So, you know, who's going to want to go to that? I mean, there's going to be restaurant failures and store failures. And I mean, there's going to be all sorts of disruptions. That all said, we're not redesigning buildings, you know, we're not redesigning buildings to have a little home office because we think we all are going to be working out of a home office or out of our bedrooms or wherever. I think eventually the new normal might be a combination of materials, you know, that are easy to clean, spaces that are easy to maintain. But eventually we'll all be back to a certain degree of togetherness because we're human beings. And frankly, I think everybody's already suffering from, you know, the cabin fever is true. I mean, if you don't leave your house, you'll go crazy. You'll, you know, probably strangle your kids or, you know, something to that nature, because it comes to a point where we need to be interacting. So what I'm saying is, I think what the outcome of DOSA is might look right now out of place, but will be in place once this is over, and I'll shut my mouth from there.
You know, one other thing that's going on, there's a group of us at ZGF tracking this. There's a number of cities now that are changing the use of their public right-of-ways, kicking cars out and taking over street space for newfound public open space. Or even, I even read something, Cincinnati is now closed some streets to traffic so that restaurants can have more seating outdoors where you got fresh air movement and you can spread the tables out and stuff like that. Some of these cities are saying, we're not gonna reopen these streets to cars. So there could be something, I don't know how directly this relates to DOSA because it gets into the realm of PBOT in Portland, but I think it's a trend that we're keeping our eye on, is this kind of reimagining and repurposing of public right-of-ways for public space. That could have an indirect effect on how we look at projects.
Well, I didn't want to open the Pandora's box here, but I just want to make sure that, Sam, I agree with you that COVID maybe is a year or two issue, but it's what this has illuminated is that what happens in the case of a major catastrophe, how people behave, what their needs are. And those are, you know, people's needs, either social interaction, the need for social interaction, the need for being away from each other. They all have ramification on design, and especially in the public realm. And my question was, if this is not at the time to answer those questions, would we be prepared to be flexible and to modify things to be responsive to the changes?
I think it's a valid, it's a super important question. The nature of this catastrophe is so unique in that you can't be next to anybody else.
Right.
The antithesis of what we're trying to do. So but I don't see the permanence in it. But anyway.
I think you're right, Sam. I think it's too early. I think we're going to see and we're going to know more as this plays out over the next year about how we, if we need to adjust and how we adjust.
Yeah, I have a fear that retail is going to be permanently further hurt by by this virus, and we're never going to go back to streets as busy as we've known them before the virus hit. So I think there's going to be more and more people used to ordering stuff on Amazon, etc. So retail has already been struggling, and I think it's going to essentially be exacerbated.
Have I told you how good I've gotten at folding up cardboard boxes and completely filling my recycling bin every week? God, because of all the stuff that comes now to the door.
Yeah, I know. And you've kind of gotten used to it. Are you going to go back and shop?
I know.
Are you ever going back? So that impacts the ground floors of buildings. And what do we do with all this space? Anyway, that's a discussion that's warrants, I guess, more review going forth. Because currently we require a lot of retail on the ground floor, and we may never see a lot of those get occupied.
Right. I have a really dumb question about DOZA for Stacy and Laura. The packets with amendments that are going to arrive in commissioners' hands on the 19th. Mm-hmm. Are those hard copy packets or electronic packets?
Those are hard copy packets. I was just going to bring that up. So I've been in touch with Laura, and she's provided the addresses for the courier to get. It's going to go straight from the printer to your designated addresses. I'm told the couriers will just ring a doorbell or knock on a door. They're not going to wait for anybody to answer, but know that they're coming straight from the printer. And they will be color copies, but we will also provide we'll also send you a PDF as well. Did I answer your question?
Yeah, thank you very much.
So, and the amendments, just to remind you, it's going to look like the proposed draft. It's a revised proposed draft. So it will be, what do your revisions look like in the document? And the changes will be highlighted. So you'll see what's changed since the proposed draft. I don't know what, if commissioners were able to take their proposed drafts with them. So I don't know if you have those hard copies with you. I don't know if you have the table of amendments with you, but we can provide links to those in case you need a cross-reference.
Okay, thank you very much, Laura.
Sure.
I just had a quick question for Tim, if he's still there.
Oh, Don, I am always here.
That's your house. Yes.
I have to admit, I did get a warning. My internet's unstable, so okay. I'll take it personally.
Well, have you seen people pulling projects from the queue because of the virus and the implications of that for long-term development?
I've seen some sliding around or holdings, not so much off the queue. I don't have a full grasp of the numbers right now. I mean, it's slower.
Yep. Well, we knew that was going to happen, but I was just curious if things have really fallen off a cliff or if things are still proceeding.
No, we've actually seen some projects that are forecasted out, like looking into the fall, like PCs and some EAs for decent sized projects. Okay. Enough to be excited. I think that's part of our resolve here today, moving forward, is to show that we could do this work. I mean, BDS behind, I could go on and on about the stuff I'm hearing and seeing behind the scenes and everyone working remotely at the drop of a hat, and how the Bureau is rallying to support staff and get equipment out and get technology out and get us ramped up to do this thing, given the summer ahead. And it's we have to do it. So
okay,
that's what you get from me, Don.
Okay, well, I was just wondering if the development community is getting pretty nervous about what the economy is going to look like in a couple of years, and therefore delaying or suspending projects.
Well, I know one developer that's in this virtual hearing room that might offer some thoughts. I know, Sam, you want to
offer something? I can give you the skinny on it. I think at this point, everybody's trying to again, it's a very turbulent time with, muddy waters where we can't really see where things are going. In general, the financial markets are also in a world that they don't understand. None of us do. I mean, the way I like to put it is just think of this as you had a board game and you knew where all the pieces were. And then someone scrambled it, and now you have to figure out where the pieces are now because they're in different places and people are taking different attitudes. The banks are pretty much frozen right now, even though there's tons of liquidity. They're still basically, they don't know what to lend to. What are the terms? And when they are giving you terms, they're terms that are so obnoxious that you can't accept them. So in essence, they're not lending. The investors community is, a lot of these are pension funds and so forth, which took a beating in the stock market initially and still. So they're all asking for their money. I mean, having redemptions that they need to deal with. So the same with the insurance companies. So they are pretty much frozen. So everybody's, the mantra is extend, extend, extend. Don't commit any new dollars to anything. Just see if you can start these projects in 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months. So in general, what I'm assuming you will see is that the same thing is happening. If it was close to a good stopping point, people just got to that point and stopped and are waiting to see if they can hold on to their land. They're asking for extensions from sellers if they just have options. And then the other thing that's happening is that there is a general expectation that construction costs are going to go down, which hasn't happened. Mm-hmm. It's too short a period. I mean, we saw some of that happen in the Great Recession, but it took a long time before that actually happened. Yeah. Materials, wood prices went down. So everybody was expecting that to sort of, but then the mills just stopped working anyway. So then the supply just kind of, dwindled. So it's a very, very fluid, incredibly unstable market. Restaurants are not getting their workers back, even if they are able to open. But if they're able to open with 10 people, does it make sense to open at all? So, what is the value of retail from an investor perspective? So it's so jumbled up that nobody knows where it's up, where it's down, where it's left, or where it's right, and everybody's trying to find a direction. So what I would envision would happen for the from a design review perspective is, yes, everybody's just saying, hold off, I'm not going to do this right now. And you'll see a trickle of projects that might start getting, you know, financing or investors, or, you know, the construction cost starts to make sense. But rents are going down. So from a residential perspective, projects make less sense than they did. I mean, already very thin projects that make somewhat some sense 2 months ago don't make any sense right now. That's it.
My expectation is we're going to be in a slump for a couple of years. And then things will probably pick up. Maybe 2002, three, something like that. So the workload, I guess, coming down to it, will be less for the design commission for the next couple of years. The workload we had in 2015, 16, 17 is really intense, so many projects. I would expect that to drop by half or three quarters for the next year or two.
Time will tell.
Yeah.
If any other DOZA related questions, commissioners? I want to keep Stacy and Laura any longer than they might otherwise want to or stay.
Okay.
We're keeping her away from her kids. She's probably grateful.
Well, thank you for your time, and I will see you at the hearing next Thursday. Let me know if you have any questions.
Great.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, Stacy.
Thanks, Stacy. Thanks, Laura.
Thank you for coming on.
Laura.
Thanks, Laura.
That's great. Chair Julie, then I had two things on the items of interest left, and that would be questions of commissioners. Kind of, we already had a bunch of questions that covered quite a bit already. And then the last item was, and Hillary offered, if I still get her to do it, we can do a Zoom first commission hearing screenshot when you're ready for it. If you're all willing. So that's really all I had planned. Are there other things you all would like to talk to? Yes, Julie,
so Commissioner. Just really briefly on Zoom meeting room protocols. I think that we are now closed captioned.
Yes.
Yes.
Laura,
yep. And does that change how we, does that change how we want to present ourselves? Do we always want to introduce ourselves as Livingston speaking?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
Sure. I might have otherwise led with that. You're correct. With closed captioning, I can obviously see your faces and I know the sound of all your voices. But someone landing into a room that is either hearing or sight impaired, the closed captioning provides that option.
Yeah.
However, the closed captioners. Right. Sorry. Go ahead, Julie.
Oh, today probably not a very big deal because we're a very small group, but next week, I think the protocol is whenever someone is going to speak, begin with an introduction.
Correct.
Yeah. Yep. Okay.
So Tim Herron, I think that's something we'll just kind of need to get more in the habit of doing. Little inserts in between some statements, those will kind of slip through, but if you're say giving a thing about a project or something like that, or launching into a question, it would be good to lead with, you know, this is Planner Tim Herron.
So Julie, I also think we need something to draw your attention to the fact that we have a question. How do we do that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Without jumping and interrupting somebody else.
Yeah, I think we will want to make really good use of the participants list. And if your mouse is live, at the bottom of your Zoom window, your Zoom frame, there should be a little icon of participants.
Yep.
Mine looks like two diagrammatic people, and it has a number 17 next to it because there are actually 17 people participating. And if you click on that, you get a really great panel, really useful panel. Along the right side of the Zoom window. And that is a shortcut to know whose mic is on, whose video is on. There's also, I think, an opportunity to raise hands here. Is that enabled on our current Zoom?
It is.
Commissioner Jessica just raised her hand. It comes up on her screen. There you go.
And Jessica, will you tell us how you raised your hand and we can all practice?
So if you, so once you have the participant panel open at the very bottom, there's a raise and lower hand button. There are three buttons, invite, mute me, and raise hand.
I don't have that.
I don't have that either.
Go to the ellipsis. There's a little ellipsis, which should be your very lowest bottom right.
Oh, yeah. So it's the little dots.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Raise hand. Got it.
There's little dots someplace?
It's like a little box with three little dots on the very right hand.
Oh, yeah. Bottom. Yeah, I got it. Okay. Good. That's a good one.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. I don't see that. I see participant 17, share screen.
Okay, so click that first.
Click that, yep.
Click participants.
Okay, I still see two people in 17.
But you should have had a window pop. You might have pop-ups blocked.
Oh.
You should have had a window pop-up that has participants.
Okay, it has a list of all the participants, but.
That's it.
Go to the very bottom, Don.
Is that a little box with three dots on the right-hand side of the bottom?
The very bottom of the participants box.
I see Rachelle. I see her.
And that's, okay, further down.
Oh, I see it says raise hand.
That's it?
No. You just
raise your hand is raised.
Good job. Woo! You did it.
Hearing adjourned.
Fantastic.
I have another question, though. The four attendees over here are people who are in the webinar, correct? So Grace, Hillary, Jacob, and Lee are attending like someone would attend as the audience?
Correct. And the next move right now would be Julie was going to ask if any of them wanted to testify. And what Laura and O'Brien were going to do is, well, once we see a show of hands, would be to promote them, if you will, from attendee to panelist. And at that point, if they wanted to share their video, they could, if they were testifying.
Let's go through that, yeah.
And if they don't, that's fine, and they could just simply speak. When the invite goes to attendees, they're basically invited to speak. They don't have to. So what will happen is the permission will go to them and say, you're invited to speak. And then they need to select whether or not they turn their microphone on or off. I'm not sure which testifier that was.
Whose dog was that?
I guess, Julie, this could be a good time. I happen to have reached out to Lee Alligood. I know that she's would be available to at least speak, maybe or may not with video, but I guess I would open it up to you to ask if there's any attendees that would like to testify at today's items of interest, and let's see if we get any hands and kind of go from there.
Okay, so there are four attendees in our hearing today, and I would like to invite any or all of the attendees to raise their hand through the participants list and tell us that you would like to provide some public testimony, or at least help us test drive public testimony. We want to be sure that the systems are working.
Shy people.
Well, I think there might be a moment too where this is an issue where it's kind of a part of Zoom fatigue where you don't have that more immediate human connection.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it may take time for someone to raise or not. And we don't necessarily always know if someone's actively listening or participating.
Okay, so there you go. All right, Lee and Hillary have both raised their hands. And so I am going to...
And you have control too, Julie, if you want to, or you can ask Laura.
And there goes Grace Jeffrey's hand. That's awesome. Okay, Laura, would you like me to promote or would you like to promote?
You know, either way, it seemed pretty smooth you doing it because you're also introducing them at the same time, which is, but either way, you just let us know at each hearing.
Right on. I'm happy to do it. And so I am going to invite Lee Alligood in first for 2 minutes of trial and error public testimony, followed by Hillary Adam, followed by Grace Jeffries. Thank you very much for being willing to be guinea pigs. Here we go with promoting Lee to a panelist. Okay.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, very Hello. Nice.
Well, it's good to see you all. And this has been really interesting to watch. And I'm really impressed that staff has gotten you all up and running so smoothly, so quickly. Do you want to hear feedback about kind of the observer side? Or
we absolutely do, please.
Okay. Fantastic.
Yeah, so what happens when you promoted me to panelists is that everything disappears and I rejoin. So there is a moment where I'm not in the meeting.
Okay.
There will be a pause as someone's transitioning over. And also I was emailing with Tim, but at a certain point when you were actually calling for testimony, my hand disappeared. So, it reappeared, and at that point I raised it, but initially I wasn't able to do that.
Okay.
So what happened there. And I will be seeing you all again next week. So that's why I'm here observing how this all works.
Oh, that's great. Thanks for being willing to do this today. We will we'll be very patient with the transition from attendees to panelists and, you know, how moving between rooms work.
Great. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much.
Julie, I do have an observation that maybe someone can comment on. Before, when I saw Lee in the list of attendees, it suddenly said talking permitted in parentheses, but she hadn't then been transferred or changed into a panelist. So is there another way that someone can participate without you having to transfer between attendee and participant? Does anyone know how that's working?
Yeah, actually, we discussed not moving the attendees to panelists unless they did have something to share.
Okay.
So when she was named, I went and allowed her to speak. So you saw that happen. And then Julie turned her from attendee to panelist. So that's what you saw happen.
Okay. So we actually kind of, I tripped over you, Laura. You were out in front there making the transition. And I just did something that didn't need to be done.
Oh, no. I mean, that's something that we're still discussing. Do we want to make them panelists every time? Or do we want to keep them in the attendee mode to speak? They still can speak, but you know, the first step would be to allow them once we name them.
Okay.
Can they be seen?
What, say that again, Sam?
They have to be panelists to be seen.
And yes.
But so if they're in the waiting, I mean, in the other room, in other words, and can speak, you can make them do that, but you don't see them unless you make them panelists.
Correct. It's a Zoom permission setting.
I'm not sure about that. Hillary, I just made you be able to speak. Can you speak for a second and let's see if we see you?
Hillary, yes, I can speak.
Okay, so we do see her name. Speak.
Well, I think you meant video, Sam. Is that?
Can you turn on your video, Hillary?
I don't have that option.
Okay, until you
made it. Okay, so let's pop you over to a panelist. Right. Hillary, are you willing to turn on your video?
Sure.
Okay, we're going to pop you over to panelist and see what, then have you go to video.
Who does that?
Laura, Julie, or I. Basically, the hosts or co-hosts or Brian.
Oh, okay.
That's the upper tier, if you will, of the permission settings.
Okay.
Hey.
Hi.
So, Sam and Julie, this is something which we specifically discussed. I think originally just rolling into this, we didn't appreciate the experience of an attendee versus a panelist. A panelist generally has a broad experience. You could see video, you could share video, you could share screens. The attendees, it feels a little like you got blinders on. It's a very different experience from the public's perspective. And I think we've been struggling a little bit with that. And so what we've decided, at least moving forward, is giving people the option to share their video if they want to. But the only way we can do that is if we promote them out from the attendee box into the panelist box. Part of the meeting gymnastics there, at least on Laura and Brian's part, is having too many panelists to manage and sort and invite and participate. So there's a little bit of a sorting factor. I think we're gonna try it out and see how it goes.
You know, we could, before someone is promoted from attendee to panelist, we could just ask them, right? Yeah. Give them the opportunity to speak and say, would you like us to move you over to video?
Yeah, that could be just a protocol we build in. Yep, okay, noted.
Hey, I just have a quick question. If you move over to video, then you can share your screen too.
Right. Correct.
Right?
Yes.
Oh, I can see how that would be good and bad.
Exactly.
Yeah. So yeah. I mean, we'll figure it out. I think we'll practice. This was good. And I was really, thank you, Lee, again, for offering. Let's, well, here's Hillary. Hillary, do you have something to say?
I do have some feedback. Hillary Adam, Senior Planner PDS. I agree with Lee. My little hand went away too. That's why you didn't get responses right away, probably.
I'm not sure also, why that happened.
What was that?
I'm not sure why that happened because you had that ability earlier on. And then when I got ready for you all to speak, I looked at it, was gone. I'm not sure if someone accidentally hit it who's also a co-host. But it's weird that it went away.
Yeah, it came back.
That's because I had to put it back on.
The other interesting thing about being an attendee versus a panelist, you can't see who else is in the room. You have no idea how many people are there. So, you know, sometimes when you're providing testimony on a case, you're supported by a room full of people who feel the same way. And you wouldn't necessarily know that you have that or don't have that in this forum. So that's all. I just want to say hi.
Very nice to see you, Hillary.
Me too.
You know, Hillary, that's really good. I saw Kara had a few emails today with Darren earlier just asking about that because Megan Walker, one of our planners, had mentioned that as well. And it really seems like, I mean, I'm not a tech person, but I just don't see why Zoom can't have a patch that allows attendees to see who's everyone's in the room so that so you have a sense of the room.
Yeah.
Before you go into the room, even though you're listening the whole time. So I think I heard a couple, Kara asked some really good questions of Darren and he kept coming back hard with, we don't have that option, but maybe we take it up a notch. Kara, I see
this is a great conversation because we're struggling with it as staff wanting to be, you know, transparent and provide a comfortable space for people. I'm wondering if Julie or Laura, you know, when we start testimony or something just to announce like, okay, there's X amount of people in the room, or could we do a screen share or something just to say, this is what it looks like at this moment. And a bunch of people are going to start to talk. I don't know, just something as a band-aid.
You can't screen share Zoom though.
You can't. Okay. All right. Yeah.
Disappear.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's an announcement at the beginning of testimony. And then maybe if it's a long list, you know, during the middle of testimony or something to give a sense of what's going on out there.
Yeah. Another thing.
Julie, this is Zeri. Often during hearings and when people come and testify, they bring written material with them.
Yeah.
How do we get a chance to read those if they do come and submit something? Are they required to submit their written stuff in advance so we would have access to them? How would that work?
Yeah, my guess is everything has to be submitted to the planner.
But Julie, if for the moment that they're making their presentation, they're made a panelist, they can share their screen and show us their whatever photos. Sometimes it's, you know, sometimes they come to the meeting with their information. They can share it at that point. I mean, you can always cut them off.
Yeah.
If there will be
2 or 3 minute limits, as there usually are.
Yeah.
Hey, so there is a way to show, and I just emailed this to Laura and Tim and maybe Kara. There is a way, if you are the organizer, to show the number of participants for the attendees.
Huh.
So in your participants window at the bottom, it should say mute all, unmute all, more. And in there, you have options to allow attendees to view the participant counts.
Say that again.
You know what? I'll just send you the link.
Okay. Yeah, no, I see what you're talking about. Yeah. And I just did that. I allowed it. So let's see.
Oh, there's only one attendee left, and he's not.
Jacob is in there.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Jake. Yes. I'm Jacob Loeb, and I've been observing. I write a small neighborhood news blog, Montevilla News, at montevilla.net. And I usually listen to your audio recordings online just to get general background about the trends of building in the area and what really the forward-looking ideas are for the city.
Welcome.
Oh, Jacob, you're awesome. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Now, Jacob, can you see how many people are attending?
I am looking around and I'm not seeing that offhand. Okay. Let's see.
Float at the bottom of your Zoom window. There should be a participants.
What's interesting though is that, oh, never mind. Sorry. Yeah.
I think Jacob is still an attendee.
Yep.
Yeah, I still
am. Excuse me. Mode. Let's get him up, Laura. Do you have it?
Well, we were testing to see if, as an attendee, he could see the fact that I allowed him to see how many people were in attendance.
Oh.
What we were just talking about.
Got it.
Yeah, but it doesn't sound like he could see it.
Hmm. Yeah, I couldn't see it. I'm in a panelist view now, so I'm trying to see if it's around here. I actually do this. Yeah, I do see it now. I do see participants 17, but that was invisible to me when I was still.
Yeah.
Okay, so it doesn't
I think we're going to make some phone calls to Zoom and change some things. So we'll have it ready for next hearing next week. Don't worry.
Great. Thank you, Jacob.
That said, Julie, you could at some point, right, say attendees, these are all the attendees that are, I mean, maybe at the beginning or when public testimony starts and show the attendees to everybody. As a shared screen.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We should maybe have a little bit of, before next Thursday's hearing, have some conversation about how we do want to manage attendees and written testimony versus screen share. We should follow a well thought out rule from day one.
Yep.
That's a good idea.
I provide the testimony list or the, you know, registration list, like I showed you guys an example today, a few of you.
Yeah.
The problem is it's revolving. People can attend at any moment and declare that they want to be added onto it. And so how do I get that to you during the course of a hearing? That's the difficult part. Yeah. So that's what we need to brainstorm.
Right. Yeah. So Laura's going to get attendees showing up after 1:30.
Yeah.
Like, you know, or at the estimated time that we put down on the agenda for when an item's going to start. And that's when names start to show up. And we're encouraging people to register early so that we could kind of manage that queue and Laura can get names queued up correctly.
So it seems like at some point from the start of the hearing through the staff presentation and the applicant presentation, at some point, maybe towards the end of that series of presentations, maybe Laura just needs to come in and highlight a check-in with all of the commissioners to help us kind of figure out how many testifiers we will scroll through and verify that everybody who wants to testify or provide commentary has actually raised their hand and provide a little bit of verbal instruction in real time.
Yeah, one of the things you'll see, and we'll sort this out, but when people register for, say, the 21st, the prompt is, what are you testifying for?
Okay.
And so it's not like I'm just coming to the hearing, though someone obviously could.
Okay.
Jacob sounds like he's going to be a regular attendee every Thursday, which is fantastic. But I think what hopefully we'll see, and this is something Laura and Brian will do, and we'll sort through as we get these hearings a little better under our belt, is you'll see, you know, Mr. Testifier item one, Mr. Testifier item two, you know, something like that. There's some kind of enumeration within which order of the hearing they are, and that'll help us sort it. But I think either way, Julie, just like you do, and again, I channel the hearing room.
Yeah.
Is when you look out, you could have, if no one's in the room, no one's testifying. What the trick on this one is, you always see some names. We may not know if they want to testify or not. So I think we're still going to ask the question out loud, verbally. Is anyone else here to testify on item number one? I see some people for two. I just want to make sure that's correct. And then, you know, we rely on the raised hand thing.
Yes.
Go for there. Yeah. Laura, does that sound, am I getting that right?
Yeah, I think that's the easiest. I think that's how we should try next week. Yep. See how it works and work out the bugs after next week.
So let me ask a question, though, because the people, the attendees can actually raise their hand, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So is it, is, would it make sense there then that just like Julie or I, whoever is leading, chairing the meeting, do after the presentation from staff, then comes the presentation from the applicant, and staff wraps it up. At that point, should Julie or whoever is leading the meeting ask of the attendees, can we please see a raise of hands of who is going to testify?
Yes. Yeah. In order to keep confusion down, though, for attendees, I'm going to keep the ability of them being able to raise their hands off until testifying begins. Mm-hmm. Because we have chat off, and even if they raise their hands prior, like, I'm not going to be able to communicate with them to find out what they're questioning or if it has something to do with testifying. So, yeah, okay. So at testimony, I will then allow that ability for the raise hand function. We'll go through the first numbered ones that did say in registration that they were intending to testify, and then Julie would prompt them and say, are there any other interested attendees interested in testifying? And at that point, we'll watch for raised hands and go for it.
I guess you'll have them in line, but could we just prefix their names with testifying or something like that?
So what I'm going to do, because the agenda items are labeled 1, 2, 3, and 4. One is always items of interest. So number two, it'll say number 2-T for testifier, 1, 2, or 3. And then testifiers for agenda item number 3, which would be the third piece in the hearing, they'll be number 2-T-1, 2, 3, and so on. That's the only way I could figure out how to organize them.
That sounds great.
Laura, you're amazing.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
What a heavy lift.
I know.
Yep. I think that, yeah, thanks, Laura. Again, that goes back to there's a whole bunch of gymnastics Laura is dealing with before these hearings. So thank you, Laura.
Yeah, we'll run with it, see how it works, and see how they feel about it.
Okay, Madam Chair, I have to leave in about 5 minutes.
I think we're just about wrapped up, folks.
Yeah. Does so Hillary offered to do the first ever screenshot Zoom commission hearing ensemble. Jacob, you're welcome to stay, but this is going to go in public documents. This is going to go to city council.
I can drop out and make a video and give you guys honors here. Hold on.
Thank you for coming, Jacob.
Yes, thank you.
Hey, Jess, can you get closer to your camera?
Yeah, it's kind of hard.
And up a little bit. There you go.
There. Oh, here.
So, Hillary, are you available? And
yes, I am.
Who else wants to show their smile?
You want to take Jacob off the
kick Jacob. I got one off of Jacob, but it'd be great to get one and post the commission.
As you said, it's going to go into, you know, city council and stuff like that. I'm sure he doesn't want it.
You scared him off.
Thank you, Jacob.
Laura can move us. This is Grace. Move us off to attendees instead of panelists.
Yeah. That's Grace. We're going to do that, I think.
I can't see how I can get rid of myself. Sorry.
Yeah, that's awesome. Quote of the week.
You know, you guys, there. If you go to the little camera in your Zoom in the lower taskbar, if you click on video settings, there's an option to only see people with video, so that you don't, all those blank squares with just names, those don't pop up. That way you can see people bigger and the squares aren't so tiny.
Thank you.
Well, I went online and I see that Hillary already has a bunch of photographs.
Yeah.
Okay, so
you may want to have yours changed, Julie.
She didn't let us know she was doing that.
No, it was a surprise attack, yeah.
I'll click when you guys say smile.
Well, commissioners, it's great. Let's on the three count, say cheese. One, two, three.
Cheese.
Got it.
Thank you, Hillary.
Thank you.
Chair Julie, fantastic. Good job.
Yeah, good job.
Everyone, good job.
Big thanks to everyone for doing a test drive here. This is really helpful.
Take care.
Yeah, I think it was a good test drive. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks.
See you later.
All right. See y'all next. See y'all next Thursday. Okay. It is 5 minutes after 3, and we are adjourned.
Thank you.